Welcome to the Apostolic Teachings of Eben Adeoton. Dr. Virus, as fondly known, is called, trained, and a faithful tour guide for the next generation. He has the mandate to violently influence and radicalize you through scriptures. This message is powered by TSF Church Mowe. TSF Church Mowe is one of the parishes of the Shepherd's Flock International Church nationwide. Locate us via Google Maps at TSF Church Mowe or visit our website www.mowe.tsfchurch.com. Remain thoroughly blessed by the Lord. Amen.
As good as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, as good as you are, as good as you are, you will never change.
Ancient of days,
as good as you are, as good as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, as good as you are, as good as you are, you change.
Ancients of days, lily of the valley, you that cannot change, you that cannot lie, you that seeth a thing and bringeth it to pass. We give you praise, we give you glory. We are grateful to be in your presence this evening. Tonight, stir up our faith, stir up our hearts, move us to the mountaintop, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 Please have your seats in the presence of God. Have your seats in the presence of God. Tonight, by the grace of God, I want to share with us continuity about this thing called faith that we have been discussing. We've been discussing about our faith, and I have been trying to explain in details what this faith truly means, what this faith truly is, how we can build this faith, how we can lay the foundation of this faith, how we can build the hope that is inside of us, how we can begin to assess the deep mysteries of God. I trust God this evening, He will expatiate His word to us, and He will teach us Himself in Jesus' name. So, quickly, I want to make a recap on what I discussed on Sunday. I said some few things on Sunday, and I know I must have said so many things, but you didn't really get what I was saying. So, I said today, by the grace of God, I will show you what the scripture says about what I was discussing. I made mention that when you believe that God raised Jesus out of the grave, then we are referring to the God kind of faith. Now, I am talking to the kind of faith that is different from the faith at which you imagine and you agree, you convince yourself that something is true. I want to give a practical example. For instance, now if your daddy comes to you and says to you, I have bought you a new bicycle. I have bought you a what? A new bicycle. How will you believe what your daddy has said? This is Bible study, so you are free to... How will you believe what... When you see the bicycle.
Now, but when your daddy told you that he has bought you a bicycle, what did you, in your mind, what were you thinking? You were thinking, how will the bicycle be like? What is the picture of what the bicycle? Is it a big bicycle? Is it a small bicycle? What color will be the bicycle? Is the bicycle high? Is the bicycle small? Does it have four tires? Does it have just two tires? Or it has extra tires to hold it so that it will balance for me and all that? Now, that is not what faith is. By the time you now see the bicycle, you now believe, oh, yes. That one is you convincing yourself that my daddy has the money to be able to buy the bicycle. Did you get what I just said? But there's a difference between that kind of faith and the faith that is in God that we're talking about. I said that that faith that we are referring to that is in God is the faith that you believe that God raised Jesus out of the grave. It's ridiculous to understand that Jesus rose out of the grave, because you have not seen anybody who has been dead 3 days and resurrect. You have not seen somebody, oh, they said, he has died though, but yesterday he woke up. It makes it very hard. But Jesus resurrected from the grave, and the power of God that raised him up from the grave, that's the same power that you receive when you believe. That's what the Bible says in Romans 10:17, and I discussed last week. I used Romans 10 to explain. It was saying that when you believe and in your heart and you confess with your mouth, then he said that is what? That is faith. What do you believe in your heart? You believe that Jesus resurrected from the grave. That's faith. And you now confess that he is the Lord of your life. Then you are said to have the God kind of faith. So tonight I want to explain to you what happens. I said something that immediately you give your life to Christ, the Spirit of God inside of you begins to go and get some things done for you. You begin to be hungry. That was what I was sharing on Sunday. You'll be hungry of three things. You are hungry of your true identity in Christ. Who am I? Because when you were created right from the beginning, you were somebody. God called you by who you are. That's why the Bible says, he calls those things that be not as though they were. Because he knew what they will become. He knew what he has ordained them to be. So your parents can call you and say, they can refer to the parents and say, Olodo. You're not Olodo. Under God, you are the wisest person on earth. You are the most intelligent person on earth. Under God. Some people may look at you, they are so poor, they can't even pay for school fees. But to God, your parents may be, to God, your parents may be the most richest people on earth. Then what is the problem? Why are you not assessing these things? Why are we not getting these things? Tonight, I want to expatiate and explain this thing. I said there are three things that your spirit go looking for. You go looking for your true identity in God. Who are you? Who does God call you to be? Jeremiah 1:5. He said, before you were formed in your mother's belly, before your mommy was pregnant of you, he already knew you. He formed you. He ordained you to be a prophet unto nations. That was what he was telling Jeremiah. So everyone, maybe he know you as the most richest man in Africa. So in heaven, heaven does not call you Osas, or heaven does not call you Victor. Heaven calls you the most richest man in Africa. That was when Jesus came, Peter came to Jesus. His name was Simon, sorry. He called himself Simon. But Jesus said, you are not Simon. You are Peter, the rock. What Simon means is that Simon is somebody that is not stable, always afraid, always shaking. Is what it means in Hebrew is a leaf that is by the water. That as the water is pushing the leaf, you know, the leaf will be dancing at the direction at which the water is pushing it. Abi? He said, that is what they call Simon. That's why Simon Peter was always wavering. But Jesus knew him before he believed Jesus. Jesus said to him, "You are Peter. I know who you are. You are Peter. You are the rock." So Jesus was already calling him what he will become, what he has ordained him to become. Maybe Jesus is calling you the highest car dealer in this world. Maybe Jesus is calling you the great teacher, the wisest man that walked on earth. What is God calling you? This is where you will get it tonight. So tonight I want to explain to us what this faith does to us. This new faith that we have found. If we are now Christ, we are now children, heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, we get an identity. We are now Christ. And because Christ is a king, is a priest, is a king, is a priest, and is a prince. So he has an authority. So that's why your spirit go looking for the authority you have in your identity. And you also have a territory. Look at those three things. You have what? An identity. You have what? An authority. And number three, you have what? What? Your territory. So all those three things will be searched out by your spirit. So join me this evening as I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll be trying to explain to us how to assess what your true identity is. How you can identify yourself in the spirit. Because Romans 10 made us to understand that, look, it is only those who are the children of God that are led by the Spirit of God. Do you get what I just said? If you say you are the children of God, then you'll be led by the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God is what you become when you give your life to Christ. That is the Spirit that is imputed into you, which is righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So let's go tonight. I'll be going step by step in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan." And what is God's secret plan? God's secret plan was that you come to know your true identity. It is in secret. It is for God to keep a seal, conceal a matter. But it is for kings to search out and get wisdom from it. So, Paul was saying, he said, "I do not come and tell you sweet things, wonderful things that will make you happy and be hyper. No. I did not come telling you that. He said, for I decided that while I was with you, I will forget everything except Christ, the one who was crucified." That's why I told you earlier in the beginning, there are two kinds of faith. The faith in God and the faith about things. Scientists tell us, if you take paracetamol, if you have headache or you have pain, the paracetamol will help you reduce and eliminate the what? The pain. So you believe that when you take a tube paracetamol for adults, one for children, or you take just 5 mL for a baby, what happens? The pain or the running of temperature will be what? So that is faith, because you now know. You now have faith in that paracetamol, right? But now, when it comes to about God, the faith that we have about God is about Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was saying. He said, "I forget every other thing. I don't have faith in any other thing. But the only one I have faith in, which is the true kind of faith, is what? In Jesus Christ, one who was crucified." The biggest message you should hear today is that Jesus was crucified. And the way Jesus was crucified paid everything required for problem in man. If you go back and read in the book of Luke, how they explain how Jesus went through all the pains and torture while he was crucified, you will see that the crucifixion of Jesus was an explanation of all the kinds of pain man can go through. They pierced his head. Man can have headache. Man can have tumor. Man can have injury on the head. They pierced his hand. Man can have trouble in his hand. You can decide to walk and walk and walk and walk, and yet there will be holes in your hand, and the money will be falling off. You'll not be able to gather the money together. Say he has worked for 10 years, but nothing to show for it because there are holes in his hands. That was Agai was explaining. Say because there are holes in your pockets. There are holes in your hands. You see, that's one funny thing that all these the defensive people do. When they see those people, they say, ah, there's holes in your hand. You know, you used to gather money. You work very well, but you don't have money. But it's a lie of the devil. They now use one satanic water to say you should wash your hand and collect all the money in your pockets. May God deliver us from ignorance. They do it all about the town. Jesus already had holes in his hand to tell you that there will be times when you will lose everything you had. But except you come to the point of him being crucified, where you pay the price of having holes in your hands. And those holes can be sealed only by God. His sides were pierced. So if you are going through pain by those that really love you, his side was pierced. That's why when you go to a marriage ceremony, you tell the husband to stay on that. They say the wife, stay on the what? On the left side. That was the side that Jesus was pierced. And the Bible says water and blood gushed out of it for our forgiveness. So that's why those who are very close to us, who are our brothers and our sisters, as they pierce us, just like Jesus was pressed. And Jesus said, because of the water and the blood that flows from my side, forgive them. Jesus that was crucified. His legs was pierced. Many times we have walked into trouble. He was beaten several times. And the Bible says that he was beaten with 39 stripes, 40 minus 1. And the medical science have found out that in all the diseases of this world, they are categorized into 39 groups. So every cane Jesus took was one category of sickness or disease or the other, so that me and you could be free. Jesus was crucified. And that's our faith. Because he was crucified, he died. That was even the greatest of all that everyone was afraid of. Everybody's afraid of dying. But those who die in Christ, they should not be afraid. Because when you die in Christ, what happens? You live forever. It's just your mortal body that dies, that goes back to the soil. But your true identity, which is your spirit, lives forevermore. You don't die the second death. That's not where I'm going to tonight. I'm going very far. I just want to lay all this time. I want you to see what Paul was saying. So what Paul was saying had deep meaning. Verse 3 now, let's go. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3. I came to you in weaknesses, timid and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speech, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. So tonight as I'm preaching to you, I'm relying only on God. My words cannot count. But I trust God that his word will count in your life in Jesus' name. Now listen, this is where I'm going to. I did this so you will trust not in human wisdom. You see, I talked about the faith of human wisdom, where you know about paracetamol. You know about antibiotics. You know that that chair can carry you, right? You trust it. That is human wisdom. But the trust in God is not what will make sense. How can you say somebody died and resurrects? In the common sense, it does not make sense. In the common sense, it cannot be explained. And you're not saying that the person died for me. They said it was foolishness. It looks foolish. But that's the reality where the foolish things of this world is used to explain the wise things. Jesus says, the word of God says, he uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So Paul was saying to them, I did not come explaining it in my own understanding, but I'm using the power of God to explain these things. Many scholars, Bible teachers have explained this and said that Paul was saying that It is less people. It is for less people for the Bible to be explained to them by using power. So all those who seek for healing, who seek for this, and that's why they came to receive Jesus, he said they are still babies. But if you have grown, then you'll be talking about the wisdom of God that we are talking about right now. So that's why Bible study is required. So you can grow and Jesus grow. And they said Jesus grew and increased in wisdom and found favor with God and with what? Man. So if you want to increase in wisdom, you need to study the word. So he says, yet when I was among mature, now look at it in verse 6. Yet when I was among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. So Paul is emphasizing the hidden secrets of God's plan. So anytime you hear the word mystery, it means something that was hidden, that you don't know how it works. You don't know how it come about. So he's saying that when I speak to people to develop them, I don't speak in laying hands. I don't speak to them in rotting miracle. I speak to them in the secret things that God has kept for them. Whether you like it or not, your story will change. Because with these secrets that have been unveiled to you, you will come to the full identity and authority and your territory in the name of Jesus. So, his plan that was previously hidden. Look at it. No, the wisdom will speak of this mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. So what does that mean? Before you were created, before even God made this world, he already knew from you. And he already intended that you will become something that will give glory to God. So we were created to give glory to God. So if we are not giving glory to God right now, there is something wrong. We are not giving glory to God right now because we have not found the secret that we need to know. No wonder Daniel said, the secret things belong to our God. He said, the one he revealed to us are for us and for our children's children. That is why people visit all kinds of altar, all kinds of places. What are they trying to look for? Secrets. Those things they consider to be a mystery. And you know the devil is supposed to give you gold, right? Because gold was initially the color, but he's giving you brass. Brass, you will like brass because it looks like gold. But that was not what God intended from you from the beginning. What God intended was what? Gold, not brass. That's why the people of the world, they go after the brass. But the real thing is in God. Tell somebody the real thing is in God. Tell yourself, the real me is in God. So nobody gets his full identity. Nobody comes to his full potential except he finds God. I don't think I'll be able to do things that I'm doing right now if not for God. You don't get it in school. What I'm explaining tonight, you don't get it by going to school. You don't get it by going to school. You don't get it by listening what I'm, as I'm saying right now. It is God that will reveal it to you by himself. If God does not reveal it to you, he says, no, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of who? God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our, he already made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers, look at it in verse 8. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. The devil does not know about what God has in stock for you. What God, what your true identity is, the devil does not know it. So what is he trying to do? He's stretching his neck. Hey, what will happen? Hey, what will he become? Because he's not sure of what he will become, he comes trying to block your way. Because he knows that you are supposed to bring glory to God, so he brings obstacle all your ways, trying to block it. Because he knows that anyhow, you will bring glory to God. That's why the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them that are called his own. So when the devil tries to begin a scheme, he wants to stop it from being achieved. He did the same thing with Jesus. He tried to put a spy in the midst of the disciples. He tried to bring up the priests, the Pharisees, and all that, so that they would just, how would Jesus even want to come in the first place? He tried to even kill Jesus when he was a baby. He tried everything. But he didn't know that everything he was trying to do was to cause the fulfillment of what God had in mind. So listen to yourself. Tell yourself, every pain, every trouble I am going through, it is for the glory of God. You didn't get what I just said. I said, tell yourself, every pain, every trouble, every challenge I am going through, it is for the glory of God to be revealed. So don't make that mistake. Don't say their talk. Don't talk their talk anymore. Don't dwell on your pain and brood and be, the heavens are coming. The heavens are not coming down. Jesus said, listen to me. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Say, the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had understood it, they would not have crucified. Oh my God. If they knew that the problem you are facing today was to bring out the best in you, they won't even allow you to go through that problem. I tell you the truth. I'll give you a very simple scenario. Some things happened in my life. Somebody came and was mocking me the day before. I had no job, nothing. I was still believing God for where I will eat the next food for that day. And she called me, put me in the midst of some people, and all of them were abusing me, saying, at your age, you are going to be 30 very soon. You don't know your left from your right. Your mommy is the one telling you what to do. People are giving you 5 naira, 10 naira. When will you stop all this nonsense? You don't know you are getting matured. You already have a child. And they went on and 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 on. I wanted to get angry. And the spirit inside of me said, shut up. So I shut up. I didn't see anything throughout. That is why I beg of you, if you are pregnant, so that you don't abort the baby that is in your womb, in your spirit, learn to shut up. Because by the words of your mouth, you are snared, and by the words of your mouth, you are delivered. Learn to what? Shut up. If you must say anything, give God the glory in your mind. Let praises come from the depth of your heart, even in your pain. Sing praises to God. They said, I failed. I failed. I didn't fail. God, I thank you because I didn't fail. You didn't fail me. I just wrote that exam and I did not pass. I will write it again and I will pass next time. You didn't hear that. Failure yesterday, does it define that you are a failure? So because you failed one class, you now resign. It's like I don't have head for school. Let me go and be selling granite and biscuits. And you now send yourself. When you didn't know. The man is dead right now. The former governor of Lagos State. He repeated primary school. He repeated 3 classes. Three times. Later became the most successful governor in Lagos State. That's late Chief Jakonde. Repeated primary school three times. I know if you are experienced, you say, I waste money on this one. Say, I'm not sending you to school again. Go and learn one job. But he later became the governor of what? Lagos State. Till he died. Even his burial was conducted by the Lagos State. They were paying him until he died. Right now that he was dead, his burial ceremony was taken care of by the states, Lagos States. So who told you that that's the end for you? Tell the person you lie. Tell the devil you lied. Who said I cannot be the best in class? You lied. Everything I'm going through is for the glory of God to be what? Revealed. Because they may not understand. Even me talking to you, I may not understand how you would do it. I may be peeping and yawning and trying to know how it will come to manifestation. Same thing happens to the prophets as I end tonight. Wow, time is fast spent. Same thing happened to the prophets. Look at Isaiah. Look at Jeremiah. All of them were just prophesying. Even David, the king, donkey years before. Even Noah, to the fourth generation of Adam, was prophesying about the coming of Jesus Christ. But he did not understand. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? This is where the secret of creativity and innovation comes from. It comes from the mystery in God. And the Bible says, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. So all you need to pray is, Lord, light my spirit. Because if God lights the spirit, your own candle, and you begin to shine. He said, no one lights a candle and puts it under a basket to cover it. No. He said, where do you put it? You put it on the what? On the candle stand. And he gives light to everyone. And the Bible says you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. So your true identity is to light your territory. You didn't get what I just said. Your true identity is to salt your territory. Is to be an example unto everyone around you. Let your life become a showcase of that there's God who was raised from the dead. The beauty, that's why the Bible says that this earth, everybody is waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. And we call ourselves the children of God. The whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. So, somebody is connected to you. And you need to manifest his glory so that that person will be able to benefit what God has in stock for him. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man. What God has in stock for his children. What does he mean? Your spirit is pregnant. So shut up. Don't talk rubbish. So that you don't abort your pregnancy. So that you don't use your mouth to destroy your pregnancy. Number two, I'll just give you three things that you should not do because your spirit is pregnant. Because as you sustain your relationship with God, don't talk rubbish. Let not your lips produce hot water and cold water at the same time. The same mouth you're using to bless God, the same mouth you're using to curse others. The people who God created in his own mindset. Number two, never see yourself as less. I didn't say put your hand and begin to show pride. But always motivate yourself and say, I am more than this. Never look down on someone else and say, I am greater than you. No, if you are doing that, then you are what? Proud. That's pride. My son did something to me this evening. While I was taking him down, we're traveling down. He got somewhere and was asking me, he said, how come this person has two cars? And I laughed. I said, the person got the second car by asking God, and God was the one who gave him his car. I said, so I can ask God to give me something. I said, yes. That's where prayer comes in. That's where prayer comes in. So you must learn to pray. So don't stop praying. That's number three. Don't stop praying. It was prayer that brought it to you in the first place, that made you pregnant in the first place. Because you confessed with your mouth, right? You believe God in your heart, then you confessed with your mouth, and God made you pregnant in your spirit. So to bat it to physical, keep on praying. That's why the words of your mouth is the same thing, must be the same thing with your prayer. What you say in the natural must be the same thing with your what? With your prayer. Because as you are speaking, if you say the right thing, you bring to manifestation what God already had in mind for you. And number three, that's number four, right?
Number one, what did I say? Learn to what? Keep quiet. Don't say rubbish. Number two, what did I say? Don't limit yourself. Don't raise yourself above others. Don't imagine that somebody is less to you. No. Don't look at the, because the person is wearing one new clothes. You respect him. Oh, Rankadidi, you are bowing for him because he's wearing new clothes. Why the other person? He's not wearing rags. You look at him. Don't come near me. Don't do it. Because let me tell you, God most of the time uses the poor to lift. I have seen it. I will explain this better next week by the grace of God. Time is fast spent. Number four, we said what? Let your prayer be consistent. And when you pray, let the prayer tally with what you say. What you say continuously. Let it tally with what you are saying continuously. So quickly, I'll just give room for anyone who has questions tonight on what we have shared. If you have questions, one or two questions tonight, on what you can pick the microphone so that we can be able to hear you very clearly before we begin to round up tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question is, we are talking about faith, and like you said, we should let what we are what we have in mind,
sure,
tally with what we are saying,
sure.
So I want to say, for instance, now I'm saying I want to get this, I want to get that.
Okay.
I have it in mind that I want to get this or that, but I'm not making any effort on getting that. I'll just stay and be praying. I want to get this, I want to get that. I believe in my mind that I can get this, and I'm not working towards that. Is it possible for me to achieve?
Wow. That's a very deep question. Okay, let me help you this way. I will use a very practical example to explain this. Now, a friend of mine owes his landlord his rent. He has not paid his rent. So every evening, his landlord is always seen sitting in front of his room, waiting for him to come back. So anytime he's coming from work, he tries to, first of all, sight if his landlord is sitting down there. And the landlord is sitting down there. He goes to stay somewhere until very late in the night when the landlord has gone back to his house. Then he sneaks in into his house and gets to sleep. And gets in. So, he does this regularly just to avoid the landlord and avoid his embarrassment. Then one day while he was coming on the road, he met a friend who he told about his situation. And the friend said, I will help you. Right? I will what? Help you. And decides to give him a check. Oh, wait. Not a check. He credits his account with 10 times the amount. He credits his account of what? 10 times the amount. So, he throws caution into the wind. What does it mean, caution? He begins to go home straight, joyfully rejoicing. And he sees his landlord sitting down there. He's no more afraid. He goes to the landlord, and the landlord says, ah, today I catch you. You have been hiding from me. And he tells the landlord, ah, my landlord, easy. Serve me a bottle of wine. And easy, give me a chair to even sit down. Before you ask me anything, you are asking me off. Why is he behaving that way? Because he now has the money. Right? Does he have it? If he check his pocket, as at that time, does he have the money in his pocket? But where does he have the money? In his bank account. Does that say anything to you? Did you get the analogy? Okay, let me explain. Now, when we pray, God credits our accounts. But the reality of what as a then is that you don't have the money on you. Two of us. But what now remains? The next thing that remains for you to do
is what I wanted to share later, but I will just say it to you, is that you will now begin to ask yourself, begin to give thanks to God for the manifestation of that thing to make reality. Because if you go back asking the person who credited your account, you will look stupid. That means you don't believe him. That means you don't trust him. Did you get what I just said? So I can't go back to the person who said, who I saw credit my account, and I can see my account that the money is what? Is there. So what remains for me is to write my own check to my landlord that I'm paying his rent, right? Is to make a withdrawal from that account to be able to pay my debts. Many times, you agree with me, God has everything that you may require. Do you agree with me? So if God has everything, he owns a cattle upon 1,000 in, he said, bring forth your petition, bring forth your strong reasons. What is next required is just a word. And when he sends you his word, he backs it up with a relationship. All you need is just one person in your life in this journey of faith. Because immediately he speaks, immediately he credits your account, immediately the judgment is in your favor, then he needs to send someone to activate that judgment. I may be speaking too much over your head this evening, but let me explain what I'm saying. Now, you don't do anything, not like folding your hand and not doing anything and not even praying anymore. But your prayer will change to thanksgiving. In advance for what he said, he had, that is, you are now very much sure that that is the plan of God for you, is to have that thing that you had in mind. Because sometimes, James was explaining to us, he said, when we pray, we don't receive, because the reason why we were praying and asking for that thing was because we wanted to just eat for I, myself, me. The trinity of self. I, myself, and me. So it was just for your own lust. So if it is not the will of God for you to have that thing, you will pray and pray. But if you know and you encounter from his word that it was the will of God for you to have that thing, and it has come into your mind, and you have received the alert in your spirit, the remaining thing is just to give God thanks for the activation of it and getting the wisdom to be able to bring it to reality. So the next thing is to get the wisdom. And the wisdom will come in your conversation with somebody. You didn't get what I just said. That is why you are thinking of something. It was not even, you didn't tell anybody. You were painting the picture of how it will look like in your mind. And somebody comes to you and it begins to discuss in that line. For instance, you are going out. Your pregnancy has not shown that you are pregnant in the physical very much. I'm talking about your pregnancy now. And you're walking around and somebody who is selling baby wears, baby clothes, who does not even know the sex of your baby inside of you, is coming to display clothes. Hey, madam, I'm selling this one. This one will be very fine for your baby. Who told you I was pregnant? Was because God is in it, working it out. That is the situation we find ourselves. I remember sometimes ago, I did something. I and my wife then, We went to, she was not pregnant, but by faith, we went to a showroom where they sell baby things, and we spent a lot buying everything we need for our baby. And I did something very interesting. When the baby did not come after that period, when I was believing God for it, I told her, everyone who gives birth to a baby, I go and pick it and I share. I shared everything to people. That's why when I had my babies, I didn't buy one thing. It's a seed. Faith is also a seed. I will explain that as we go on. And God will give us understanding in Jesus' name. Any other question? Did I help your faith? Is your faith growing?
Children, get ready. Hey, you are going to assess something that even me, I wish I had assessed it earlier on. These days, I'm studying it, I'm understanding it, and I'm asking myself, why didn't I know this long time ago? I don't think I'll be here. Maybe I'll be somewhere greater than this place. But time is not lost. In the realm of the spirit, there is speed. So I resist being overtake and will recover all I have lost for my restoration and my reconciliation in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Rise to your feet this evening.
You move mountains.
This message is powered by the Shepherd's Flock International Church, Moway, Ogun State. Share your testimonies with us via the phone number 0803-0682-464 or visit our website www.moway.tsfchurch.com. Remain thoroughly blessed by the Lord. Amen.